Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. If there's one book in the New Testament that gives us a before and after picture, we've all seen before and after pictures, it is the book of Ephesians. If there's one chapter that will paint for us the picture of redemption, redemption, it is Ephesians chapter 2. If there's a chapter in the Bible that gives us the wording and gives us language for what happens to a heart that is born again, it is Ephesians chapter 2. It is amazing what God does and shows us in Ephesians chapter 2 about each of our hearts. And you know the interesting thing about our life? Sometimes we wonder, was there anything in the Bible that has to say to me? Is there anything that relates to my life? The Bible is a book I don't understand. The Bible is a book that doesn't make any sense to me. I would encourage you today, because Ephesians chapter 2 is your story. It's your life. It's your hope. It's your future. You're in the book. You're in God's Word. And it's in Ephesians chapter 2, your story, your life, your journey. And the theme of Ephesians chapter 2, what we'll talk about today, is how God has a project. God has a project. God has a project. And its outline, and it's the blueprint for it, is found in Ephesians chapter 2. And I just love it. And what I love about this chapter, just say one more thing about it, is that you can break it down in kind of four even slices. So I'm thinking about pie, thinking about cake. It's Father's Day. Everything's a slice. That's too small. Increase the size of the slice. We'll be saying that some this afternoon. And it's in four slices. The first one that you see here is God is working, and God is working for us. Ephesians chapter 2 is the story of God working for us. Then it's the story of God working in us. And then it's the story of God working through us. And then it's the story of God working among us. For us, in us, through us, among us. That's the God project. For us, in us, through us, among us. The God project of Ephesians chapter 2. I'll read some of these 22 verses, and hopefully they'll speak to your heart. And you he made alive, who were dead in the trespasses of your sins, who were dead in sins. You were dead in sins. In which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we are all conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh. The Bible says, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, we were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Now, Ephesians chapter 2 would be a miserable chapter if it stopped at verse 3, but it doesn't. Thank God for verse 4, because as it describes us what we were, what we once were, how we once conducted ourselves, it says in verse 4, and it starts out, but God. That means God initiated. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with us, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved and raised up together to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us. His kindness toward us. It's a great thought in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's never a good idea to boast about how spiritual and what a spiritual giant you are, because it just means that you did it. The Bible says it's by grace you are saved. How many of us, the only boasting we do is we boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in what Christ did for us. That's what we boast in. I love verse 10, and it's kind of our theme verse this morning. For we are his workmanship. His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good work. We've been created for good works. Not craziness. Not all the stuff that sometimes we get ourselves into. We are created for good, godly works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. We are created for good works. God Almighty has laid out in your trail, your path, good works, godly works for you to walk in, for you to embrace, for you to be a part of. Now, if we keep reading, let's jump down to verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and with the members of the household of God. Having been built, everybody say built, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, that's a pretty good team. That's a pretty good building that God is building. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And God Almighty says, you are a part of that. You get to build that in your life through your testimony, through your gift, through your giving, through your sacrifice, through your prayer and your worship. We go on to see, it says, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2, God works for us. God then works in us, but it doesn't stop there. Then God works through us. And then God works among us. That's God's project. What is God's will for my life? What is the plan of God for my life? What does God want me to do? What does God want me to know? Where am I to go? What am I to be? God says, here's what I want to do. I want to work in you. I want to do a work in you. And then because I've done a work for you. And because of what I've done for you, let me do something in you. And once you let me do something in you, let me do something through you. And then once you allow me to do something through you, why don't I do something among you? As a group, as a family, as a church. That's God's project. That's the project that God is on. All throughout Scripture, you see these words. And I love the words that we see here in Ephesians chapter 2. I think they're kind of buzzwords for us. Grace, what an important word. Sin, what an important word to understand. The gift, workmanship, it means design, it means poem. It means craftsmanship, that you are God's poem. You are God's design. The word stranger here in Ephesians chapter 2, broken down, household, built, foundation, cornerstone, building, grows, dwelling place. All over and over again, you see these building words because God is up to something. And what God is up to, he is building a family. He is building a people. Because all over the book, all over this Bible, you see God building something. God's always building something through. God's always building something among. God's always building something in. He's doing it with Noah. Noah's building an ark. God's building Noah. God gave David a project to build a nation. God gave Moses a project. Build a deliverance for our people. Bring them out. Build hope into the people. God gave Nehemiah a project. Build the wall back. God gave Ezra and many other prophets. Project, restore the temple. God, Jesus said that he's on a project. Jesus said, I'll go away, and when I go away, don't be troubled, because I'm going to be in heaven, and I'm going to be preparing you a place, that in my Father's house, there are many mansions. He also said that I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. See, he's building something. All throughout the book of Revelation, you see when they saw heaven, the building, the walls, the gates, everything is described. This place of eternity is being built. God is always building something. All throughout this book, he used people to build something for his glory and for his cause. You say, well, Dan, I got one question. All I got is one question. I like Father's Day because you keep it real simple. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't have 15 points. I don't have 35 instructions. I have one question for you. I like one question. I like keep things simple. I don't like when Delenn asks me multiple questions. because I feel like I'm going to miss one of them. I'm going to say the wrong thing. And she starts asking me multiple questions. Slow it down, baby. Slow it down. Let's go back to the first one. I'm on question 8 in the stream of questions. Let's get back to the first one. So I can answer it correct. I have one question. Here's the question. You say, well, Dino, what is God building today then? Because God's building something today. You know what he's building? He's building people. He's building hearts. He's building lives. He's building men. He's building women. He's building families. He's building generations. He's building the church. I mean, he's building the kingdom. He's building in us and through us the cause of Jesus Christ. Because always remember something. When God builds something, he doesn't just do it for self-love. Have you ever seen something built, but it really didn't have any use? It's like, great. It's a glass vacuum cleaner. It's really cool. It's all glass. It's made out of Schwarzkopf crystals. What do they call them? Swarovski.
Swarovski. Skorsky.
It's like, wow, that's amazing. How you use it? You're going to vacuum up the goldfish all over my living room? You see things built, and they're amazing, but there's no use for them. See, God doesn't build. He's not building something just for self-love or for just presentation's sake. God is building something on purpose. See, we not only have been saved from some things that Ephesians tells us about. Remember how it says, you were this, you were this. But then it says, you've been saved for some things. You've been saved from, you've been saved for. Not only has salvation visited you, but salvation has visited you so that you can present your serving. Salvation and serving. God says, these are the things I want to do. I want to do something in you. I want to do something through you. I want to do an individual work. Custom work in your life. You're like nobody else that's ever been bored. Nobody's just like you. You're an individual. Nobody does the things you do. You have a certain little way that you've been wired. I want to do some individually custom in your life. But then I want to do something with you together as a people, as a family, as a group. See, God does this. Why? Because God has a project. God has a project. Now I want to finish with two thoughts. Gave you one question. What's God building? What's his project? Give you two thoughts. I told you I was going to keep it simple. Simple, simple, simple. I mean, I've told you the story. I go in my bathroom. Delenn has 35 products around the bathtub. Conditioner, shampoo, exfoliators, removal of all kinds of sorts of fungi and stuff like that. I'm just joking. But, you know, it's like lotion for Tuesday at 3 o'clock if the sun's kind of half covered. And then there's lotion for Friday if it's raining in Moscow, just in case you're there. I mean, she's got all this stuff. But let me tell you what me. I'm a 3-in-1 man. One bottle, shampoo, conditioner, and soap. Where you at, fellas? Don't be scared. And if that don't work, give me a bar of soap. It's all I need. Need all that stuff. I don't need no exfoliating. I cast exfoliating off of me. Cast it off. Jesus. I like this pulpit. It's a big old pulpit. Glory. Two thoughts. Here's the first one. We have a project to do. That's not a hypothetical generalization. I'm announcing to you as your pastor. We have a project to do. So you're like, yeah, glory. Somebody got a project. No. We got a project. I got to go to Piccadilly. No, for real. We got a project to do. It's very important. God has called us to make a difference in our generations. And I think the Lord loves giving man a project because we have to be so dependent upon him. A project that's bigger than us. A project that is just not, that we can't just do ourselves. It's a project we need God's help, like the project we're sitting in. This is the project that God has given us for several years, and God Almighty had to help us to get here. It's God Almighty. People say, "Well, God, Bill, how'd that happen?" G-O-D, that's it. God Almighty, through faithful servants, did the work that we're able to experience in this church, whether it's this campus or all the other campuses. But we've been called to be kingdom builders. That's what God called us to be, kingdom builders. So then what is a kingdom builder? A kingdom builder, a Healing Place Church, is an individual or a family or a couple or a young person who makes a decision to be a over and above person. They serve over and above. They give over and above. When it relates to resources, you give over your tithe, over and above, to advance God's kingdom, to reach out and build facilities, to do special projects around the world, to do outreaches around our community. So we're kingdom builders. What do we say? Kingdom builders impacting eternity. And so many in our church over the last several years has decided, I think we've always been that, but we put a tribal name on it. We're kingdom builders. And matter of fact, the resources of kingdom builders was the what God used to move us into this new facility. I mean, you gave. Do you not remember all the sermons we talked about? How many remembers down at the other? How many came to church in the other building? Do you remember saying, God is going to bless. God's going to, as we sacrifice and we give to build the vision, we give to chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 10, chapter 18. Remember all the sermons I preached over and over again? Keep giving. Believe God. We're going to build some. God's, one day it's going to be open. We're never going to walk through the hallways. One day kids are going to go into the classroom. One day people are going to come to. One day. Guess what? That one day is today. That one day actually happened. Hey, in a crazy economy. Think about all the times that this could have happened. It happened in some of the hardest economy times known to our little times during this time. So God did. So through kingdom builders and giving and giving and being a people that are committed, look what God has done. And I'll tell you, Delinda, and I say thank you, thank you, thank you over and over and over again for your faith, your sacrifice, and your dedication to others. Others, others, others. Well, this year at Kingdom Builders, we're going to turn our attention to what we call Project 14 Kids. God's plan, our hands. Matter of fact, you've got one of these. Get this out if you can. Get this out. Project 14. I want you to know what's happening here at Healing Place. If you didn't get one of these, ushers, will you stand? I think you have some of these. For ushers, we'll grab them and stand up real quick. Because I want to make sure everyone has one of these in here, because we're going to do something with it at the close of our service. If you didn't get one, raise up your hand. If you didn't get a Project 14, I want you to have this, so you take it home, and then you're going to have one part of it you're going to tear off, because we're going to all have a task. So just raise your hand up real high if you didn't get one. Our ushers are moving around all throughout the race, seating. See some hands raised. Just keep leave your hand up while I continue to talk for a few minutes. Many of you know how committed we are to kids. And in the next generation, we make it a top priority, especially our children. I don't have to tell you about the statistics of people that leave church when they get into the college age. And a lot of times that happens because of the foundation didn't happen as a teenager. Many of you know also the whole statistics that when someone receives Christ as a child, there's such a greater chance that they're going to be a person of faith throughout their life. And so that's so important for us. And you may not know this or not, but behind this raised seating up on this part of our church is 14,000 square feet on the second floor. It lays right behind that area right there. It's unfinished. And this space is dedicated to Healing Place Kids, the next generation, also some support space for that. And we just believe that this is a sacred space. We believe it's what God's called us to do next as a church as it relates to facilities. And when we finish that, when we finish those 14,000 square feet, it's going to be three amazing children's theaters that I believe kids are going to be just excited. They're going to want to get up every week and go to church because of the things that are going to go in there. It's high tech. It's high touch. We're going to be doing some neat things there in that area that reaches that age group, that makes an impact on their life. And I believe kids are going to want to be there. And also, it's going to be a place where the gospel is going to be taught. Hopefully, our kids will get a hold of what God's planned for their life. And it's going to be a blast. And again, I believe it's a place where children want to be. So here's the plan. So it's Project 14. We're kingdom builders. So kingdom builders, what's going to happen now is we believe that God's given us a vision and it's his plan, but our hands are going to build it. We're going to do something different that we haven't done in a long time as a church. Firstly, we've got to pray. How many knows you can't even move forward in a God project without marinating it in prayer? Can I have a good amen? You got to pray over the next 10, 11 months, believe in God, God's going to help us. God's going to give us power, going to give us wisdom, going to help us in our knowledge on make sure we're doing everything that's pleasing to Him. So that's important. And then we want you to give. We believe that because of the way that we're going to do this, by using many people in our church, by many of the men getting on board, that we're going to be able to do this for a smaller cost than what we originally thought it was going to be. So we've reduced that cost. So if we just had, I want you to hear this, 700 families, which we have many more than that in our church. If we just had 700 families that would give $1,000, we would be able to get this accomplished. And here's, or whatever God would put on your heart. I know the Holy Spirit works all that out. I'm just giving you an idea of what it costs to be able to finish that space, 14,000 square feet. So we're going to do it by cash. We're going to do it as we go. I'm not going to borrow any money. We're just going to do it as we go. But we want to get it done ASAP because all of our kids are in the classrooms that eventually will be classrooms for adults to be able to do teaching and somewhat of a, like a Sunday school opportunity during some of our services for equipping and doing different things for marriages and newlyweds and young couples like that. So we want to give financially. That begins today. Throughout our kingdom builders, if you just say, you know, I want to give an additional gift. Maybe you can today. Maybe you can go home and pray about it. Say, you know, we can do more than that. We got to get this done for our kids. And so that's one of the ways we're going to pray, we're going to give. And then here's secondly, the thing we're going to do is we're going to finish the space ourselves. So we're going to do it ourselves. And we're going to need, you know, if you have a special skill, if you own a business, if you know vendors, you're gifted in certain areas. I mean, you know how to paint. If you can look on, matter of fact, you can see different things that we need. Electrical, plumbing, HVAC, framing, millwork, painting, flooring, carpentry, sheetrock. You clean up well. You just say, I don't know a lot, but I know some vendors. People we deal with at work. I guarantee somebody would help us out. We do a lot of stuff with this certain vendor. I promise you, they would want to help us. So a lot of this we're going to do ourselves. A lot of the parking that we're getting ready to add, we're doing ourselves. And so that's one of the ways. So we're going to pray, we're going to give, and we're all going to put our hand to the task. So there'll be cleanup days. We're going to organize this. And so right after service, if you're one of those people, we want you to fill this out. We're going to have buckets all across this auditorium that you can drop, tear it off. And if there's something on there that you got a skill, because I'm going to tell you what, there's nothing like church sheetrock underneath your fingernails. Can I have a good amen? The Lord will bless you with church sheetrock. So you may have a different skill. You say, I know some. Man, Dino, I think we can get it done cheaper. I think we can do this. We want to hear all about it. You know how when you see somebody do a project and you always sit back and say, we could have done it that way. This is that way. You know when you think, well, I could have done it better. This is your better right now. So just go and get some and just let us know. This is your opportunity. Tear this off. You may want to give today. You may want to start off and say, we're going to do it right now. Our family is going to commit right now to start it off. And drop them off in the buckets, or we're going to have our team up there. So after service, you can go right up there, talk to our team. We've got that whole space open for you to see it. So that's one of the things we can do so you can get involved. So place this Project 14 in the buckets that's around you, and then you can email us at project14@healingplacechurch.org because I believe God has spoke to us, and these are going to be some of the most exciting days for us as a church to work together. I believe we'll make history, your gift, your tools, your resource together. We're going to have a great time. So we have a project to do, and I'd like to be in that space December the 31st. I'd like to start out 2011 with our children in that space. So our giving begins today. Our ideas begin today. All the bread. Some of you just sit down because there's some gifts in this room. I mean, I think there are men in this room that say, Dino, we can get it done. Man, I've been looking for a project. Here's your project. I tell you, I've got an idea. I got something we can do. I can lock my head, my heart around this. This is where you're able to do that. So I believe God is going to speak to us because this is important. I believe to his heart because it's going to be able to give an opportunity for the next generation to have more space, reach more families as we do, as it relates to pouring also more parking because that's important. Now here's the second thing I'll finish up with. So together we have a project. Here's the second thing I want you to know here at Father's Day is that you are God's man. I want every dad to hear that. You are God's man. So who are you talking to? I'm talking to you. You are God's man. You are God's man. Oh, not me, Dino. I mean, Billy Graham is God's man. No, Billy Graham is God's man for Billy Graham. You are God's man. Nobody can be God's man for you. Your pastor can't. Your daddy can't. Your granddad can't. Deacon can't. Elder can't. Usher can't. Your cousin can't. Your wife can't. Come on, somebody. You can't live on the spiritual temperature of your wife. You are God's man. No, I'm not God's man. Now, you don't understand. I'm not God's man. I want to encourage you today. You are God's man for your home. You are God's man for your family. You are God's man for your friends. You're God's man in the workplace. You're God's man in this community. You're God's man for your son. You're God's man for your daughter. You're God's man for your granddaughter. You are God's man. Don't wait on anybody else to be God's man. You be God's man. Don't look for anybody else to be God's man. You be God's man. Don't let anybody else influence your home more than you. You are God's man. You are God's man. God's not waiting on anybody else but you to be God's man for your life, your moment, your time, your heartbeats that you have left on this planet. You are God's man. Now, I don't know if you're living like it. I don't know what your past has been. And I don't know what happened yesterday or what happened back in 94 or what happened back in 2002. But Ephesians chapter 2 tells me that because of the grace and because of the cross and because of the blood of Jesus, I once was that, but I'm no longer that. I don't have to keep being defined by that. I don't have to keep living out that lie. I'm somebody else, and I'm somebody else because of the mercy of Jesus Christ. You say, but Dino, you don't know me. You don't know how I failed. Dino, you don't know how I failed. You don't know how I've sinned. You don't know how I've cheated. You don't know how I've lied. I'd agree you've done all those things. But Dino, you don't understand how bad I've been. But Dino, I'm here to tell you, but God. But you don't know about my wife. You don't know what my wife's been through. You don't know how my wife, she don't like me. I made a mess. My wife can't stand me, matter of fact. My marriage is a mess. So, Dina, what am I going to do? I'm not God's man. But Dina, what about that? What about my home? I don't know. But I can tell you this about God. I don't know how he's going to do it. And I don't know when he's going to do it. So I don't know how, and I don't know when, and I don't know where, but I do know him. Can I have a good amen? And he can make a difference. Say, but Dino, my son, he doesn't speak to me. My son, we haven't talked. I don't even know if I hear from my son today at Father's Day. But Dino, how can I be God's man? I failed my son. Matter of fact, I'm not even a good parent now to my daughters. I made a lot of mistakes raising my daughters. But Dino, what can I do now? Well, it's too late, Dino. But what about this? I don't know. I don't know if all that's true. All that may be true. But God, you were this, but God. God will be with you. Stay surrendered. Stay humble. Stay broken, but God. But Dino, I've sinned. I've drifted. I've lost my way. I've lost my purpose. I fight addiction constantly. I'm embarrassed. I'm so guilty. I have so many powerful things that come against me. Other things are in control of my life. I feel like the devil is chasing me every morning I wait out. But Dino, the devil's chasing me. How can I be God's man? But God. But God says, I'm rich in mercy and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what is able. Will provide a way of escape for you when you're tempted. I mean, I want you to listen to me. The mess you made is probably real. The struggle ahead could be exhausting. The trail that you're on may be tough. But Ephesians chapter 2 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, deep in grace, has raised me up. Can I have a good amen? But God, but God, but God, but God, but God. To every excuse, to every statement, to every thought, but God. But Dina, no, but God. But my wife, no, but God. But I'm single, no, but God. But I'm alone, no, but God. But I'm 32 and alone, but God. Nobody calling my number but God. Wore my favorite shirt. Nobody looked at me but God. Got my nails done but God. Even got my hair a different color but God. But God, but God, but God. That trumps everything. Let's live that way, amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.